From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message called Unfinished Business, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, written by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, God's Hornets. The text is Exodus chapter 23, verse 28. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. What the hornets were, we need not consider. They were God's own army, which he sent before his people to sting their enemies and render Israel's conquest easy. Our God, by his own chosen means, will fight for his people and gall their foes before they come into the actual battle. Often he confounds the adversaries of truth by methods in which reformers themselves have no hand. The air is full of mysterious influences which harass Israel's foes. We read in the Apocalypse that the earth helped the woman. Let us never fear. The stars in their courses fight against the enemies of our souls. Oftentimes when we march to the conflict, we find no host to contend with. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. God's hornets can do more than our weapons. We could never dream of the victory being won by such means as Jehovah will use. We must obey our marching orders and go forth to the conquest of the nations for Jesus, and we shall find that the Lord has gone before us and prepared the way, so that in the end we shall joyfully confess, His own right hand and His holy arm have gotten Him the victory.
Soldiers of the cross, discouraged, though
Satan's host ascend. Against you God hath said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Soldiers, midst the mighty throng, hold fast and gird your armor on, for soon you'll shout the victor's song, your foes defeat is sure. Be faithful to thy captain's call, go forth in grace to conquer all, for soon creation's host will fall and crown him Lord of lords. Fix your eyes on Jesus, his promise faileth never, we'll praise his name forever in heaven's bright array. Soldiers of the cross, now the trumpet call, obey, amen, amen.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. In Joshua 13 and verse 1, we find that Joshua was old and stricken in years, yet there remained very much land to be possessed. Joshua's work was done, but the task of fully possessing the land belonged to the children of Israel. In the Gospels, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption on the cross. The book of Acts underscores the unfinished work of the church to reach the world with the gospel. First of all, the Christian life is meant to progress toward an ever fuller enjoyment of all that we have in Christ. Then the Christian life is to be one of ever-growing usefulness for God. Every believer ought to be involved in some way in the task of reaching the lost for Christ. Yet many who should be mature in the things of the Lord are yet babes spiritually. The answer is to pursue a deep and earnest prayer life, coupled with a spiritual study of God's Word. In short, more likeness to Christ will lead to effective service for Him. God's people have a personal responsibility to claim their spiritual rights by following God's instructions for power. Now to conclude this message, Unfinished Business, here is Dr. Cairns.
Does the book of Acts reflect the kind of Christianity we know today, or does it not? And I defy any man anywhere to tell me that what we read in the book of Acts is mirrored by what we see in our living and in our churches today. In fact, this is the very reason why we have a charismatic movement. This is the only reason it could ever get off the ground. It's because of the absence of the real that you have men working up and manipulating people and events to produce a lookalike. But when you turn to the book of Acts and you read that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost and what he went out and did, and again he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and when they prayed, the place wherein they prayed was shaken by the power of the Holy Ghost, and with great boldness gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. When you read that the fear of them fell upon the unbelievers, that a great number of the priests who opposed them was converted and brought to the Savior, when you read of the unstoppable power of the gospel, then again ask yourself the question, is this the kind of power we know today? I don't think so. I've been rereading the story of the great 1859 revival in my homeland in Northern Ireland by a man who lived through it. It's very interesting when one knows the places, and I can see in my mind the picture of the towns and the areas that are mentioned. And to read of the mighty sweeping power of the Holy Spirit of God, where people who came to mock were smitten, not by a preacher, but by God. When God took over whole communities, when crying was wiped out not by any social program, but by the power of soul-saving grace, when people were swept into the kingdom, my friend, that is the fullness of power. But do we know much about it? Or is that territory not still in the hand of the enemy? This is true then in the area of personal experience, but it's true also as far as the area of evangelism is concerned, that much land remains to be possessed. Tribes and nations remain to be evangelized. Those of the torchbearers are young people who saw the video of the Reverend Alan Dunlop's family visiting in Cameroon and through Central Africa. We'll remember the burden of the young Dunlops to go back to the southern part of the Cameroon to a pygmy tribe of 30,000 people that have never once in their history ever had a preacher of the gospel. That's only one little tribe. How many times can that be multiplied around the world? Tribes to be evangelized. And perhaps the greater challenge, there are nations to be re-evangelized. The greatest mission fields in the world today are in the Western world. When you look at Europe, the cradle of Protestantism, Europe, the scene of one revival after another, today Europe is in the hand of the enemy, getting ready to crown the beast. Europe needs to be re-evangelized. It doesn't matter what country you look at in that great continent, the witness of the gospel is almost zero. You take England. There are a few people in England that have been faithful to Christ. When I tell you that in this Sabbath day, between 95 and 98% of all the people of England will not be in any house of worship, Protestant, Roman Catholic, apostate, or Christian, you can see something of the heathenism of England. You take the land of Knox, Scotland, a small little land, insignificant on a map, but its influence for God has been almost without parallel. And yet today, when you go to the land of Knox, it's in the hand of the enemy. Wickedness and sin abound. Apostasy has practically throttled the witness of the church. And there are few who stand for God. I tell you, it'll not be long unless God intervenes till you add America to that list. Still in the hand of the enemy. I trust today that we will come to see the last great truth that our text presents to us. I'll quickly leave this with you. God's people have the right. God's people have the promise. And God's people have the power to possess all that Jesus Christ won for them. When you look at this in personal terms again, in Ephesians 3, the apostle prays for the Ephesian Christians that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that's what Christ has purchased for us. The apostle says, listen, this is your right. This is what God has promised to you. This is what the Savior bought for you. It's your possession. Make sure you possess it. Of course, it's true also for the church. May I want us as a church, I want us to get the vision of what God has promised to a faithful people. We can make all the excuses in the world. You know, these are hard days. These are days of apostasy. We have wickedness on television. We have humanists in the schools. Look, all those things are true. Let me give you an illustration. Many of you have heard me mention very often the late Jordan C. Kahn, great Indian Christian. Man whom God saved, made a preacher, and used immensely. I've often told you that my life and ministry were changed by coming to know Jordan Kahn. I learned to pray as I prayed with that man in a way I'd never known before. I knew the presence of God as we spent hours together in a way I had not known before. I was in the presence of a man who lived in perpetual revival. Jordan Kahn was asked to go to the annual missionary conference of a leading Western missionary society in his homeland. These were missionaries from Britain and from America. They had served God, as they thought, with great diligence and honor in what was a very, very difficult area, surrounded by either Muslims or Hindus. Before he started to speak, he went around the gathered missionaries. And he said, how many of you have won anybody or seen anybody won for Christ this year? Not one missionary could say yes. Not one. What about the last 2 years? What about the last 3 years? 4 years? 5 years? In that mission society, they hadn't seen one Indian won for Christ. In that same period, what Kahn called the living churches of Indian Christians, ablaze with the power and love of Christ, had been seeing hundreds converted and churches established out of these converts. They got down to business with these missionaries. And it soon became obvious they were all so busy doing this, doing that, doing the other thing, administering this policy, raising money, or writing back home, that the one thing that was needful was going untouched. They had lost out with God. The awful truth was that the mission staff was spiritually backslidden. That day God broke those men and women, brought them on their knees, and I tell you, and I'm giving you this in Jordan Kahn's testimony, not mine. That year, and the year following, and the year following, they saw people saved in numbers they had never seen before. And I'm not talking about high-powered American-style evangelism. I'm talking about people praying until God broke through and started a work of soul-saving power. We have the right. We have the promise. We have the power to have all that Christ purchased for us in personal holiness and service and usefulness. Our responsibility is to enter into these rites, to take hold of the promise, to obtain by prayer God's power for service, to set out on the assurance that Christ has guaranteed us success. Listen, doesn't matter how dark the day is, God has a people to see him. This is one of the reasons I am glad to be what the world calls a Calvinist. I'm glad to believe in God's eternal electing purpose. I'm glad that while God maintains his church in the world, he has a people to save. And he's going to save them out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation. And not all the devils in hell or out of it can ever stop the mighty power of our God. Let us then assume our responsibilities. There is much land to be possessed. God give us a holy hunger for his blessing. God give us a mighty urgency to fulfill his purpose. And may we never, never rest until we possess our possessions in Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. We thank thee that there is much land yet to be possessed. We thank thee, our God, for the implicit assurance there that it will be possessed, that it's ours to take. We thank thee, Lord, it is thy will that we grow up into Christ in all things. It is thy will that we become more like our Savior. We thank thee, our God, it is thy will that we become stronger as we're strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. We thank thee, our God, it is thy will that we have power to serve Christ. Thou hast told us to be filled with the Spirit. We realize the arm of flesh is without power. without any effectiveness in the work of God. But, O Lord, we thank Thee that the power of the Holy Spirit is real and it is vital. We pray that Thou wilt graciously grant us the experience of it. We long to be what we ought to be for God. We long to do what we ought to do for God. Lord, grant us grace. Grant us success as God defines it. That success to do the will of God and to bring everlasting glory to Thine own thrice holy name. Hear our prayer. Part us with Thy blessing and keep us in Thy fear, which is the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. Be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought people, both today and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in all His glory. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.